Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
For the lead, ball put down. Right-footed kick is up and over end. And now he hit the crossbar. After he hit the upright, he hit the upright again. And the Bears are going to lose.
Bears lose the football game. They're out. That's how it works in the playoffs. Our next guest, Nate Davis, NFL reporter for USA Today. Excited to have you on, Nate. How are you, man?
Good. Yourself?
Doing really well. You were in the Army.
I was.
Thank you for your service. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, if you want. Sure.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. All right, so how do you get from being an ex-artillery officer in the Army into covering football for USA Today? What's that path?
Well, the path is really when I got out of the Army back in 2000 after doing my ROTC obligation. You know, it was kind of the dot-com boom years, and USA Today recently started up its website, or you know, a couple years into it, but they were looking for knowledgeable sports people who could write. I'd done all those things in college, and kind of got a night job, and worked my way up from there.
A lot of people talk sports. Is there a lot of sports talk going on among the officers
in the Army?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I mean, got deployed to the Middle East, and guys definitely take jerseys over there, and they take sports equipment and balls and all that kind of stuff, and you know, but like anywhere else, you find the same kind of, I guess you call, tribalism and fandom. And I will say soldiers have a particular love for pro wrestling and NASCAR, but certainly plenty of football fans too.
You know what hit me is, I've been doing this radio show for, 12 years, and we do this show and we talk about sometimes things that are going on in the rest of the world. We never try to lose focus with that, but sometimes that happens and we get lost in our little sports world. And then all of a sudden I get a package in the mail. And it came during that time that you're referencing, and it came from one of the units that was based in Iraq, who was streaming or listening to the podcast of this show, and they sent us, you know, some letters and a flag that had flown over sort of the battalion base, and I thought, gosh, those guys are listening to our show as a diversion. It made us, I think, it just stopped me in my tracks.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, especially when you're deployed over there, there are long, long stretches of boredom, and obviously some more intense stretches of stuff that you don't want to think about at times. But yeah, I mean, I remember being over there one year and watching the Super Bowl. I think it was the Broncos and the Falcons at like four in the morning. So, and then it was a full kind of makeshift Army bar there in Kuwait, but guys will definitely go to great lengths to follow their team and follow their sports, particularly when it's kind of a welcome diversion from reality.
Nate Davis with us, NFL reporter for USA Today. Let's talk about the football games. What did you learn? What did you learn over the weekend that we can take forward? I know you published your 32 things you learned, but where do we start that list with?
Well, I mean, I think you learn things, but you also have to just admit you don't know what you don't know. I think I only picked one of the games last weekend correctly, being the Colts over the Texans. So, you know, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. I think that's probably your biggest 30,000-foot takeaway. Saw all three of the quarterbacks making their playoff debuts lose, although to me Lamar Jackson was the only guy that really looked like it was a little too big for him. On Sunday, I mean, Trubisky obviously could have easily been on the winning side, but looking forward to the next round. You got some of the old with Rivers, Breeze, and Brady, and some of the new with Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, and the other guys. So have a good mix of storylines going forward.
You mentioned Philip Rivers in your piece today. That you know he's 37. He's 0-7 against Tom Brady. He's thrown for more yards and more touchdowns than anybody else who has not played in a Super Bowl. I do find myself rooting for the guy.
Well, yeah, he's just such a down to earth guy, and I always love when you see the pieces on him doing his wholesome yet unending trash talk with other teams, and you know, I think, you know, interactions with Philip, you always kind of come away thinking he's a generally good dude, kind of funny. I know not all AFC West fans, particularly Broncos fans, but we feel that way about him over the course of years. But, you know, funny too. I mean, you think about the best quarterbacks who have never been to a Super Bowl. I mean, you're probably thinking Philip Rivers and Dan Fouts are right at the top of that list with the Chargers heck. So, yeah, and the other thing too, I always felt kind of badly for him in that it seems like he always gets the short end of the stick on that 2004 quarterback debate, which is often limited to Eli and Big Ben. But I think if you strip off the title part of it, you know, most people won't for obvious reasons. But, you know, for my money, Phil Rivers is probably the best of those three quarterbacks when you're just doing a pure quarterback look and not worried about who's got the rings.
Are the Patriots vulnerable? I mean, he has to go to Gillette to beat them.
I mean, I think they're definitely vulnerable. I mean, for many years now, it's been obviously Tom Brady and the second best player on that team has been Rob Gronkowski, and we've seen quite a drop off from his standpoint. You know, I'm not sure they've been getting by without a real good pass rusher for a number of years now, but we saw that come back to bite them in the Super Bowl last year. I'm not sure that's really been fixed. You know, I'm not sure they've got a real elite defensive player over there, maybe with the exception of Stephon Gilmore. But, you know, I think that the Chargers are maybe uniquely built to beat them. I mean, they're despite being a California team, I think they can run the ball. You know, the defense is good. I think they've kind of got an all-weather thing going there. And I think if there is bad weather, which there might be for that game, I think they may be better equipped to deal with it than the Patriots because they rely so much on that short passing game and you know, to the tight ends and that kind of thing. You kind of wonder if they're going to be able to make much headway against that Chargers defense, given how many good defensive backs they've got there, plus the two pass rushers in Gordon and Bosa. And that's always, you know, you can make life miserable for Tom Brady in the pocket. You know, we all know that's the best way to beat him.
NFL reporter for USA Today, Nate Davis, is with us. Cowboys go to the Coliseum to play the Rams. What do you expect there?
Well, you know, I expect a pretty good matchup there. Obviously, you're looking at perhaps the two best backs in the league, and Zeke Elliott and Todd Gurley. You know, hoping that the Gurley is close to 100%, so that you know, it's obviously an optimal matchup for both teams. I think probably Elliott would have the bigger game there, just because the Cowboys' run defense I think is better than the Rams. But you're also looking at how's Aaron Donald going to fare against, you know, I think it's a vulnerable interior O-line there for the Cowboys. And I think Dak Prescott was the most sacked quarterback in the NFC this season. So it'd be interesting to see how Aaron Donald can impact the game up the middle. And then, you know, do the Rams have enough weapons, maybe just enough weapons, to overcome that Cowboys defense if they do sell out to stop Gurley? I mean, Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks are both 1,200-yard receivers. You know, Josh Reynolds, I think, has been a nice X factor playing in Cooper Kupp's stead. So there's a lot to unpack there. You know, plus the Wade Phillips angle, Tavon Austin, you know, playing against his former team, you know, should be fun.
I'm looking at Dak Prescott, and I thought to myself, like at the beginning of this year, I wasn't so sure. Like if he had a bad year, I was, you know, thinking, is he really the guy for the future? Did he cement that? Is he the guy of the near future for the Cowboys? Like, is there any question that they're committed to him long term?
I don't think so. I'm kind of with you. You know, I thought, you know, Dak was a good quarterback, you know, I thought, but certainly not elite in my opinion, and still probably not. But you know, he had an impressive game against the Seahawks. You know, crazy to think that he's the first quarterback in Cowboys history to have a run touchdown and a pass touchdown in a playoff game, given all the playoff games the Cowboys have had. But you know, this is going to be the first offseason upcoming where they've got the chance to pay him. He deserves some kind of reward, and maybe, you know, too, they can kind of negotiate a deal that certainly you wouldn't think is going to be top of the market Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan kind of deal, and maybe have something that's more mid-range. And that's kind of key to building teams anymore. So many teams are able to load up with talent around a quarterback on a rookie contract. You know, think about the Seahawks a few years ago with Russell Wilson, or the 49ers in the Kaepernick years. The Eagles, even right now, with Carson Wentz on his rookie deal. So, you know, the Cowboys are going to have to be careful that they don't overpay Dak. But I think Jerry Jones is ready to reward him. But, you know, surely they're going to want to hold some money back to pay guys like Amari Cooper and DeMarcus Lawrence looking forward. So it's going to be an interesting calculus. But Jerry Jones has given every indication that he's going to pay up.
Philadelphia goes to New Orleans, and you know, maybe Philly's got that magical run in them again, or maybe they're just on borrowed time. New Orleans going to be too much for them?
I think so, probably. New Orleans beat them 48-7 in November. Nick Foles didn't play that game, so there's the obvious difference. But I don't know. Saints are really tough at home. They've never lost a home playoff game with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They're 5-0 there. Last time they had the number one seed, they got all the way to the Super Bowl and won it. So we'll see. They're just, to me, the Saints are so well rounded, both balanced offense, defense, balanced pass run, all that stuff. I think. Especially when they got the home crowd behind them, and given the overall weakness of the Philadelphia pass defense, and I don't think that as good as Philadelphia's pass rush can be, Brees gets rid of the ball so quickly. I just don't think that they're going to be able to cover up on the back end. So I think it's going to be a fairly decisive New Orleans win, but we'll see.
Andrew Luck and the Colts go to Kansas City, where they'll find Patrick Mahomes. We talked about playoff games and young quarterbacks. Mahomes, you think he'll be fazed by that or no?
I suspect he won't be. Nothing's really fazed him yet. He just seems like that kind of kid that nothing really bothers him, nothing too big for him. So I don't expect kind of what we saw from Lamar Jackson yesterday. I think the big thing for that game just is are they going to be too reliant on him. I mean, that team clearly, that offense changed a little bit once it lost Kareem Hunt. The defense is certainly vulnerable. I think you would still favor the Chiefs just given all the weapons they have. But, the Colts can run on them. Marlon Mack had a huge game Saturday against the Texans. I think actually a record game for Colts playoff history. So they can run on that team, and we all know what Andrew Luck can do. So I would say probably the Colts are actually the better all-around team when you look at all various aspects of it. But I think the Chiefs may have just a little too much firepower for them. But I think that game could be closer than people might think.
All right. I look at this and I see we're down to our Elite Eight here. I like the Saints in the NFC. I want to pick the Chargers in the AFC, but I feel crazy to do that. Who do you like in the NFC and the AFC right now?
I definitely like the Saints to go all the way. I mean, I think their path is nicely set up. I'll probably end up picking the Rams in the other game. And like you, I mean, I picked the Chargers to win the AFC back in July. I abandoned them last week for the Ravens because I'd fallen in love with what Baltimore had done with kind of the knuckleball offense. But I think I'll go ahead and go back to the Chargers. And that Colts-Chiefs game may be the toughest one of all to pick, but probably go Kansas City and just, the trend recently, too. I mean, no team in the wild card round has gotten to the Super Bowl since 2012. So anymore, it seems like having that first round bye is just a huge, huge advantage.
I talk to people who travel the world and they do mission work or they're in some tough places, some dangerous places, and they say they always come back to the U.S. appreciative for some of the small things we have, like paved roads and lighting in the streets, and you've served overseas in the Army. Do you think on a regular basis about the things you have here versus what you saw over there, or do you just try to leave that behind?
Well, I mean, you reference it. Certainly, you think about other contemporaries that are over there now, and away from their families, and away from those creature comforts that you reference, and you still kind of try to pay attention to what is going on over there and some of the hardships. And it seems like a lot of those kind of headlines aren't even really headlines anymore, and we just kind of forget how long these deployments and these wars have been going on for now, the better part of two decades. So my personal experience is never too far away from your thoughts, particularly when you've got friends and colleagues that are still fighting the good fight, as we would say. But we're certainly fortunate to be where we are as people here.
Nate, thanks for sharing that stuff with us. I appreciate it, man.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right, there he is. NFL reporter, USA Today, Nate Davis. See, I love that. He's covering the NFL for USA Today. And I wonder if you could go back. Like, here's an artillery officer who's in Kuwait, who's overseas. And I tell you, it was a humbling thing for me, Bobby. I got a package in the mail one day in the middle of, our war that's going on over there. I'm like, what is this? And It was from, you know, I could probably name the battalion. I have the certificate and all the flag. You know, there's a flag at home. You've been into that kind of bar area at my house. There's a flag in there that is from a battalion who was serving in Iraq who sent their flag. They say, this flag is the flag that was flying over our base. We listened to the BFT. And it just so happened that somebody from the state of Oregon was in the battalion and said, this is the podcast we're listening to, guys. And so the whole battalion was listening to the podcast. It was humbling to me. I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, you know, it's enough pressure to know that we're on in Eugene, Klamath Falls, we're on in Woodburn and Salem and Portland and Vancouver, and that people listen as they're passing through or they podcast. But to have, like, guys who are out there, men and women who are out there serving our country, who are in Iraq, who are listening, like, at 4 o'clock in the morning, our time, to the podcast of yesterday's show, that to me was like, whoa, like, we need to do the best show we can possibly do. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
So if any of you out there are listening overseas, wherever you may be, we appreciate you. Leave it right here. The Big Splash is next. Our Big Splash is coming up. Big spat going on, by the way, with the Knicks. Have you seen this spat going on with Hedo Turkoglu and Enes Kanter, the Knicks
center? Yeah, I've seen it, yep.
So the Cliff Notes version of this, there's a lot of unrest in Turkey. And Enes Kanter supports the Turkish government that got ousted from the country. He's been outspoken critic of the current president and leader of Turkey. And Turkoglu, who is a former trailblazer target in free agency, has become the right-hand man, or quote-unquote lapdog, of the Turkish government. Well, unfortunately, the Knicks have a game this season scheduled for January 17th against the Washington Wizards in London. Because this is a cool thing that all the sports franchises and sports leagues do now. We go overseas, and I'm being sarcastic, we go overseas with our best sports athletes and promote the game in order to market not the league itself, but really in order to help market merchandising and to help market television deals and broadcast deals. It's just a little whetting of the appetite. This is like when the Seattle Mariners come down to Portland, as they're doing this week, and they kind of, you know, they do some events. They're going to come on the show tomorrow, and they're going to whet your appetite because they want your attention. It helps them. There's something in it for them. So the NBA is going to London, and Kanter says he can't go because he's afraid he's going to be assassinated. And Hedo has come out and said, no, it's because you don't have a valid U.S. passport. Kanter then tweeted a photo of his U.S. passport saying, no, it's really because I am afraid I'm going to get killed. And somebody asked him, are you really afraid that you're going to get assassinated? And he said, absolutely, man. They've got spies everywhere. I can get killed very easily. It would be a very ugly situation. So here you have a political situation that has now turned into an NBA beef. I'm with Kanter.
If he's afraid, I know the Knicks are going to let him stay, so yeah. He doesn't have to go. So
yeah, if he's afraid you're going to get killed, yeah. That's a good reason not to go to the game.
I think so.
You know? What are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid they're going to kill me. Okay, you can stay home. By the way, Hedo doesn't get a lot of... He gets about the same amount of cred in Portland as Chandler Parsons gets, you know? There's some names I can just say. Chandler Parsons, Roy Hibbert, Hedo Turkoglu...
There were some good decisions we didn't make.
Yeah, look at Chandler Parsons. He's in a mess. He won't even report to G League for Memphis.
A mess.
He wanted to spend more time in L.A. than he did in Memphis.
They got $38 million more to pay the guy.
Yeah, and it isn't like we should applaud the Blazers organization. No, the Blazers wanted him. They got outbid, okay? So they're lucky that Parsons didn't also want them and their money.
That's right.
All right. Brings us to our big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there. Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, the big splash has to be the national championship game in college football. We almost went an hour without talking about it. Nick Saban and Alabama, number one ranked team in the country, playing number two Clemson in the Bay Area.
When you play in a game like this, you expect to play against a great team, and Clemson's all of that. And our players are certainly looking forward to the challenge of playing against a really, really good team.
Really, really good team. Alabama's a 5-point favorite in this game. I've got some really cool odds to present to you on this national championship game coming up that include things like what time will be on the clock when the first points are scored in the game, which team will score first, and the strangest bet of all. Do you know that if Clemson wins by 43 or more points, you can get 125-1 odds on that? When I throw a 10 spot on that, Bobby, I'll give you more odds coming up on the national championship game. But it's the one thing you need to know. Big game's going on, and I think you're going to watch it.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.